My dear brethren and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I gave my original exhort with elements also attached to this exhort back in 2019. And just as a pre-statement, I exhort myself first of all with those aspects of this exhortation today. And wow, brethren and sisters, haven't so many things changed and heated up in this year of 2026, even compared to just back in 2019. We are now so much closer to our Lord Jesus Christ's return. And so let us be exhorted today, leading up to the partaking of these emblems before us, the central focus of our gathering today. And let's for a moment focus on today's world at large and what enormous amount is happening in the world. Have we ever seen the world in this much turmoil? Not in my lifetime. What about yours? More global wars, more violent protests, governments breaking down and not even reaching their full term all over the world, corruptions throughout world governments and businesses and so on, family violence continually on the increase, street crime like we've never seen before, wide world terrorist attacks, financial crises and collapses, mass human suffering and world starvation, and so many more that we could mention. Let's just think about the environmental world crises. Global warming and increasing massive ice melts, terrible worsening fires all around the world, worsening droughts, increasing major earthquakes, widespread floods, even in areas that have never had them to such an extent before, increasing pollution and land degradation, just to mention a few. That's the world we live in today. I still have a part-time job every week working and helping usually about 70 to 100-year-olds who are still in their homes. Even back in 2019, which I'd mentioned back then, there was a worsening. There were things that worried them enormously and are even worse now. The worsening world and what is on the news now every day are those things that present themselves and concern them. What the future holds for their families and their own children. That they are increasingly turning the TV off because it is just too frightening and too depressing. Yes, that's the world we live in, my dear brethren and sisters. It's getting worse. But unlike the world, we celebrate these signs that these worsening events are showing and reinforcing for us. And why is that? Why do we actually celebrate these signs? We all know the answer, because God told us in the Bible and his son Jesus also spoke of these things, that they would happen in these last days, our days, even today. We are all very familiar with Jesus' prophecy. It's well known, isn't it, in Luke chapter 21 and reading from verse 25 on about the state of the world in these last days. But we just always need to be reminded about it. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity or feeling there is no way out. Men will faint from terror seeing all these things coming on the earth. But as verse 27 on stresses, we must always have it front of mind, in our mind. And we read in verse 27, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This looking and lifting up in the original Greek has that translation that is actually quite important in our understanding as part of this exhortation. It is to unbend. It is to rise up. It is to look up. It is to be elated. Those are the messages that come all the way back then from when Christ gave them. And then as in verse 31, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now, if we gave a modern English translation to that King James wording, it is near. As simple as that. Our time right now, brethren and sisters, is to unbend, to rise up, to look up, to be elated at the promise that our Lord Jesus Christ is about to return to set up God's kingdom here on this earth. We have to ask ourselves this question. Could Jesus come back any day now? Could he? Any day now? And the answer has to be a big yes. He could, and it will happen. We must never place any reliance on our own personal interpretation and prediction of his return being on such and such a day, etc. Just in the last year or so, at least two Christadelphian brethren have predicted the date, one even going to Jerusalem to be there for Christ's return. In every case since there have been Christadelphians, there have been brothers that have ignored Scripture and falsely predicted. We know the wording repeated in the New Testament, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. And there is an important divine reason we are told not to predict. Our human nature, and just think about this, our human nature would then take over and we would relax. We would become a bit slack. We would think, either consciously or subconsciously, that we have plenty of time to fix up our weaknesses before Christ returns. Jesus knew our nature, our weaknesses inside out. That is why both he and the apostles repeated these specific warnings to us through the New Testament. And here are just two from Jesus. Going back to Luke chapter 21 for the first two verses. Verse 34, and I'm paraphrasing here from several translations. Take heed to yourselves, or be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with worldly indulgences and weighted down with the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly or suddenly like a trap. Verse 36 states, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Moving to the last book of the Bible then, where Jesus speaks in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. And this is a really important statement that so many people actually miss one little word in it. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Jesus has been very specific here in this very revealing warning. Only if we do not watch, do not keep awake, do not be vigilant, then we will not be ready for Jesus Christ's return. And we will be like the five unwise virgins, won't we? Where the door was shut and Jesus Christ stated, verily I say unto you, I know you not. So the big question we should be asking ourselves here and now is, are we really ready? We often say quickly, yeah, we're ready for Christ's return, but are we really deep down ready? I would like to now read an old challenging poem about our state of spiritual health that might help to bring into focus how ready we really are right now for Christ's return. It doesn't cover everything, but it should make us think. And some of us will remember this old title, If Jesus Came to Your House. If Jesus came to your, and it's by Alois Blanchard. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly I wonder what you do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honoured guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio, or if we translate to today, that shows you the age of this poem, or nowadays all the TVs and devices that we might be on, and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Saviour spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read, and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you, maybe, just change your plans for a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends? Or would you hope they would stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him to stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you, me, would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. In our hymn 266 that we've just sung together, in the third verse, we sung the following words to remind each of us here today in relation to our Master's return. Soon he will come to show his power and glory, to raise his saints who now sleep in the ground. Come with a shout and voice of the archangel, and finally the glorious trumpet sound. So here's a simple question for us all, my dear brethren and sisters. Are we ready for that great trumpet sound any day or night from now? How would we react to it? It would be both thrilling and sobering, wouldn't it? Matthew 24, verse 31 states, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." This trumpet call, or it could just be a visit by an angel, could happen any time now. It will precede the rising or raising of the dead, precede the judgment, precede the reward. And the question is, as part of exhortation, are we ready? And here is one writer's portrayal of what could happen at Christ's soon return. Yes, it may not happen like this, but this is just a portrayal to make us think about that reality that will soon be upon this earth. A brother was driving to work and had stopped at an intersection when a striking figure of a man caught his attention at the bus stop. It looked like an individual was signalling for a lift into town, and after pulling over, the brother was all the more impressed with the countenance of the stranger. He had never seen anyone like this before, and his heart rate increased dramatically. The man opened the passenger door and whispered, "Brother, the Lord has come and has sent me to call you." Flabbergasted and with tears running down his face, the brother was about to open his mouth when he heard the comforting words, "Don't worry, brother. Your wife and children are being invited to come as we speak." Here's another writer's portrayal of what could happen at Christ's return, this return that could be at any time. A little rural ecclesial group nestled amongst the tropical forest jungle in a developing country were engaged in a song of praise afternoon. Though no musical instruments were evident, the audience sang their beloved hymns with harmonious melody. The atmosphere was electric with emotion and in full anticipation of the coming kingdom. As the brethren and sisters settled into meditative silence, awaiting the presider to open with prayer, there was an unusual pause. The presider had observed two striking individuals making their way into the mud, brick and straw house of worship. With the audience still standing, awaiting the opening prayer, these two men addressed all of them. "Beloved of the Lord, he has called you to be with him. Come with us now so that we can go and meet him." Some sat down weeping with tears of relief and joy. An elderly brother called out in praise and thanks as he now knew that he would see the Lord before he died, something for which he had prayed since being baptized some years earlier. Overall, the audience was somewhat stunned, you can imagine. But once the enormity of the occasion sank in, there was a wave of immense joy which swept over them all. Shortly thereafter, the small, rusted, iron-roofed hall lay empty and quiet. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, this could be our next moment. It could soon be happening all over the world. So how are we travelling both individually and travelling as an ecclesia as we await that near great day? I would like to present one more illustration based on God's word, but penned by a Marita Terrell. And this is about our walk to the kingdom, what we're doing now. And I've used this because sometimes we remember really important principles in Scripture where we can conjure up a vivid picture. An old Scotsman operated a little rowboat for transporting passengers. One day a passenger noticed that the old man had carved on one oar the word faith and on the other oar the word works. Curiosity got to him and he asked for the meaning of this. The old man, being a well-balanced believer in Christ and glad of the opportunity for testimony, said, "I will show you." And so saying, he dropped one oar and plied the other called works, and they just went around in circles. Then he dropped that oar and began to use the oar called faith, and the little boat just went around in circles again, this time the other way around, but still in a circle. After this demonstration, the old man picked up both the faith and works and wielded both oars together, and he sped swiftly over the water to his destination, explaining to his inquiring passenger, "You see, that is the way it is in the believer's life. Works without faith are useless, and faith without works is dead also, getting you nowhere. By faith and works pulling together, make for safety and progress and blessing." And so now in our lives, my dear brothers and sisters, in these last days, we also need to be strongly pulling on the oars of faith and works for both ourselves and our ecclesia. In our New Testament reading today, which we had read to us from Mark chapter 11, we had a strong reminder of what will shortly happen. It was prophetic, as recorded about Jesus entering Jerusalem. In verse 9, this was wonderful to read. Each time we read that, it was wonderful to read. The people cried, saying, as he entered Jerusalem, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And verse 10, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And yet, the Jews of that time, who called out these wonderful praises, and wanted the kingdom to come there and then, failed when they crucified theirs and our Saviour. In coming together to remember our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ today, we need to ask these questions of ourselves. What do each of us here today, myself included, have to do better? What changes do we have to make in our lives now? Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, to be acceptable at our Lord's return. We want to be like the five wise virgins, of course, and the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And we all want to hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." May we all here, my dear brothers and sisters, here and on Zoom, be able to say, "I am ready, Lord. I am ready for that trumpet call." And as in Luke 21, verse 28, stated in the wording, to look up when these things come to pass, for our redemption is near. And be reminded that phrase, look up, means to unbend. So whatever our position is right now, we need to unbend, to rise up, to look up, and to be elated at those things that will shortly be upon this earth. And I would like to conclude by reading together from the last verse of our hymn 266 that we sung together earlier. As he ordained, we meet around these emblems which show the offering Jesus made for sin. And now like him, we see the joy before us. Strengthen our faith, O Lord, that life to win.